First, President Biden announced last week that he would name a point person in the education department to address the rise in school book bans. In 2022, attempted book bans at schools and public libraries reached an all-time high since the American Library Association started recording book bans 20 years ago. That continues the upward recent trend. According to an analysis by the group PEN America, about 40% of the banned books included LGBTQ characters and themes, about 40% featured characters of color. A handful of states have passed laws making it easier to challenge books, while Illinois recently passed a bill limiting book removals. Want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. Have books been challenged in your school district, your local library? Have you led a challenge or asked for something to be reshelved elsewhere? What are your thoughts on schools keeping certain books off the shelves? Where should lines be drawn? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Louise Robbins is an emeritus professor of library and information studies at UW-Madison and the author of The Dismissal of Miss Ruth Brown, Civil Rights, Censorship, and the American Library. Louise, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much, Rob.
Before we get into this new point person in the education department, I just wanted to get your thoughts as someone who's observed these issues and how they've played out over time. What are your thoughts on this last couple of years we've seen this big increase in challenges and removals of books?
Well, it's very distressing. We've had challenges to books as long as there have been libraries, I suppose, but the intellectual freedom position of librarianship has evolved in an effort to make it possible for people to get a variety of opinions on different subjects to allow people to learn as much as they can. So having more censorship, having more book bans makes it harder for people to gain new perspectives or even to support their own perspectives. Historically, things have moved much more slowly because people have communicated by letter or by telephone, not by internet. So censorship hasn't gained steam the way it has in the last couple of years when we've been so extremely polarized.
Part of the goal of this new position in the education department would be to explain to schools in particular that removing books could infringe on students' federal civil rights. What are your thoughts on the possibilities of a role like this in the federal government?
Well, it'll be a first, but there have been supports for librarians in the past. But in this case, I think having the weight of the Department of Education, of the federal government, to inform people is very helpful because it gives heft and gives authority to that understanding.
In a school in particular, parents might have a concern that they don't want sexual material, for example, or graphic descriptions of sexual material in a school. Do we have a good process for deciding, hey, this book might be okay at a high school, but isn't okay at an elementary school, for example?
There are processes for determining what should go into libraries. Librarians have a very elaborate process of reading reviews, reading the books, listening to others, making choices based on awards, reviews, and so on, and then putting them in the area they think is most helpful to students. I think there's also a process for removing books if that's or challenging them. The challenger should have read the book in its entirety to be able to identify what portions of it are offensive to that person, to make an argument for or against the book, and then to submit that to the librarian who normally has a committee set up to help review such things so that it can go through a process. Of course, what one person finds offensive may not be offensive to someone else. So imposing the will of one individual on an entire school library would not be a very good idea.
Might the answer to a particular book being challenged look different from one community to another community? Does that process say, our town here doesn't think this is appropriate for kids of this age, another community might come up with something different. And I don't know, maybe that's okay.
It could be. I think that the issue is, okay, we don't have very many people of color in this community, so we shouldn't have any books about people of color. Well, in the great wide world, you're going to run into people of color. You need to know something about other people, whether you have them in your community at this moment or not. So I think it's dangerous to say, well, we're a very small kind of insular community, so we don't want to know about the world outside of us. I think that it would be best, of course, if people could be exposed to a wide variety of viewpoints. But yes, librarians try to take into consideration their communities and what the community wants and needs.
We're talking to Louise Robbins, Emeritus Professor of Library and Information Studies at UW-Madison, looking at book bans, book challenges, and removals in schools and libraries. The White House says they're going to have a new point person in the Education Department to work on that issue. And you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your thoughts on the issue, maybe your experiences in your own community. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's bring on a caller. Dennis is with us in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi. I was just thinking about the Scopes Monkey Trial. That was had something to do with teaching about evolution in high school. Mm-hmm. And it's a religious thing. And for public schools, there should be a separation of church and state. Parochial schools, yeah, if they want to ban things, well, it's up to them. But as far as the religion, well, you need to be careful whose religion you want to ban, because it seems like people want to ban everybody else's except theirs.
Dennis, thanks for the call. Louise, religious basis for challenging books, how does that play out in practice?
Well, I think I agree with Dennis. I think it's very dangerous to say, my religion's okay, but yours isn't. And I think this is going to have ramifications across the board as we more and more use federal funds or local funds to fund parochial or private schools. There should be some strings attached to that funding to make sure that people whose religion is not identical to that of the sponsor have some rights in terms of collections as well. So I think Dennis is right. We need to be careful whose religion or whether we're going to put restrictions on religious materials.
Thanks for that call, Dennis, at 800-642-1234. Louise, as I mentioned at the outset, about 40% of the books banned, this is according to PEN America, from 2021 to 2022, featured LGBTQ plus themes and or characters. Now, there might be parents who make these challenges who say, you know what, I don't want my kid exposed to what I consider, the parent might say, a lifestyle I don't approve of that doesn't match my religious principles. How would you hope schools and libraries deal with a complaint from that perspective?
I think that there is a system that already in place where libraries can handle that. A parent can make clear to the librarian on some kind of form, if it needs to be formal, and it probably does, that my child is not to check out books about X, Y, and Z. And the librarian can easily enough steer that child away from those books without limiting other children to selecting books I mixed that sentence up, didn't I? Without limiting other children. So I think that the issue is, when you make a complaint, you need to say, I don't want my child doing this, but you don't necessarily have the right to tell another parent what his or her child can do. I think it's very certainly clear that you can limit what your own child does.
Let's go back to our callers now. Ryan is with us in Glendale. Ryan, hi.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I would describe myself as very pro First Amendment, but I do worry about if we are going to prohibit or limit the authority of librarians in one area, that means that we're compelling the authority of librarians in other areas. And it seems like it could very easily lead to compelled speech, especially if there's a government entity in charge, like this proposed official at the Department of Education, to say that you must carry these books or you must promote these ideas.
Ryan, thanks for the call. Louise, go ahead.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what Ryan means. Ryan, when you say compelled speech, you mean that people are going to be forced to collect certain materials?
Well, what I mean is if you say that the community has a very limited say in what's available, then it seems to me that that means that the government has been saying this material must be available whether the community wants it or not. And that, to me, seems to be a form of compelled speech.
Well, I think that is a potential danger. I don't foresee it happening because I think so far as I've been able to understand thus far, the position of the government is we're going to tell them what the law says, what the law has said so far about the rights of students to access library materials. We're not going to tell you that you have to stock X, Y, and Z books in your library, but to enable librarians to have a backup if they need some defense. As an example, in the past, one of the strangest stories that I've come across is that in 1958, I think it was, a children's book, Rabbit's Wedding, which you may have heard of, has a picture on the cover of a black rabbit and a white rabbit. A librarian, the state librarian in Alabama, almost lost her job because some legislators said that this was promoting interracial marriage. I doubt Garth Williams, the illustrator, ever thought about that when he did his book. But these kinds of, a person like this librarian needed to know that she had the right to fight for that book to be on the shelves. So it's just giving the librarian some support and backup and letting them know what the law actually is and what the best practice in the profession is. There are lots of people out there who have little libraries that don't have much support in terms of professional guidance. And this would be useful to those people if they need it.
Ryan, thanks for calling in. We're talking about school and library book bans with Louise Robbins, Emeritus Professor of Library and Information Studies at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. When do you think a book should be removed from a library or a school library? If ever, have you participated on either part of a book challenge at a library? And what are your thoughts on this big jump in the number of books being challenged or removed from libraries, changes in state laws in both directions, making it easier or harder to remove books? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about President Biden's appointment of a book ban response coordinator at the U.S. Education Department. Louise Robbins is with us, Emeritus Professor of Library and Information Studies at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. There's been a big jump over the last couple of years in the number of books, the number of titles being challenged at school libraries and other libraries, and book removals as well. Some states making it easier to take books off the shelves, some, like Illinois, passing laws to make it more difficult. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Back to your calls. Allie is with us in New Richmond. Allie, hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to bring up, Allie?
So I am curious, access to books and freedom of information, is that a freedom of speech? And then I'm also curious, if the books are on the shelves and you don't like it, just don't read it. And we're in an age of you can get your hands on any books that you want. So even if they're banned, people will have access to them somewhere.
Allie, thanks for the call. Louise, Allie, first of all, asking, how much does the First Amendment play into these issues?
The First Amendment plays into these issues a great deal. Freedom of speech also implies a freedom to receive speech. If there's nobody to listen, there's not much point of speaking. So this is the two sides of the same coin. Freedom of speech and freedom of the press kind of go hand in hand. Freedom to receive information is crucial. And I think that Allie has a point that the word does get out. If a book is banned, in some cases, it makes the book even more attractive. In fact, historically, the label Banned in Boston was sought after by some authors in the 20th century and the late 19th century, but especially the early 20th century, because they felt that, and they did, it did increase the book sales tremendously. So if a book is controversial these days, chances are it will be discovered and read by young people. In fact, I was talking with friends of my age the other day, and everyone could remember passing around an old copy of Peyton Place, because with the parts underlined. We didn't read the whole book. We just were looking for the naughty parts, right? And I think a lot of kids do that. It would be much better for them to have the opportunity to read a book under the guidance of a librarian or a teacher or a parent than to be passing books around like that.
Thanks for the call, Allie. That point from Allie about access, though, I've seen it kind of flipped around on the other side. Well, okay, if we've taken it off the shelf in the school library or the library, no problem. If a parent really wants to have this book for their kid, they can find it probably online. They can order it. So the harm of removing it isn't so great. What do you think of that, Louise?
Well, I think that the harm varies. Libraries are especially designed to serve everyone. So those people who don't have access to large resources to purchase things are much more likely to gain access to information, to good reading, to the internet, to online resources through a public library. If you go into the library most days, you can find people using the computer for job applications or to do research on what skills they need to get a particular job. There are all kinds of things that libraries are used for. They are used to develop people's reading skills and their information literacy skills, to create community. Many, many, many roles that the library has these days. So, and books, access to books is one big important one, but in some ways is only one part of the role of libraries, but it's most important for those who don't have inexhaustible resources to order online or to search, spend all the time looking in used bookstores.
Let's bring on another caller now. Jerry is with us in La Crosse. Jerry, hi.
Yeah, hi. I keep thinking that this subject is very interesting and very important, that book banning or compulsion, as one listener talked about, are very important, and it's related to other issues. The other issue I want to mention is health teachers. We have books in the school library. We also have health teachers. And these teachers are walking a very careful tightrope. They have to be very careful about what they say. They have to be very careful about how they react to certain students' comments. They are, really worried.
I gotcha. Jerry, thanks for the call. Louise, I know you mostly focus on the library side of thing. Do you share Jerry's concern about, a chilling effect on what teachers can say if they're teaching health or American politics or you name it?
I absolutely do. And health is an important one. I know when I first began my library career, the person that I worked under hid the only book on human development in the library when there were so many kids who really needed that book. They'd had no idea what was going on in their own bodies, and they needed it. But I wasn't in charge, so I had to fight for that one. But I agree that it's very concerning that people have to be so careful, and they have to be careful about things they shouldn't have to be careful about. I mean, we should be able to talk about our history. We should be able to talk about people's identities. We should be able to talk about health and so on. So I'm very concerned that we are completely altering how people learn in a negative way.
Thanks for that call. And Louise, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Louise Robbins, Emeritus Professor of Library and Information Studies at UW-Madison and author of the book The Dismissal of Miss Ruth Brown, Civil Rights, Censorship, and the American Library. She joined us to talk about President Biden's plan to name a point person in the Education Department to address the rise in book bans in school libraries and other libraries over the last couple of years.